Cut the Fat Podcast is brought to you by Dr. Ray Heinisch, Blythe Allberg, and cutthefatpodcast.com. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'd like to welcome you to the next episode of Cut the Fat Podcast. Now, I'm all alone today, but I'm really excited to be with you because I want to talk about a topic that is so critically important because it really needs to come very early on in the weight loss journey for you. And what I find is that when I inquire about this topic, which is the topic of how do we set real, achievable weight loss goals, what I find is that people get it all wrong. And in fact, they get it so wrong that the way that they set their goals actually causes a lot of guilt and frustration. And it's our philosophy that if we're going to be going on a weight loss, fitness, health journey, that journey should really be a journey of personal development, one that really lifts you up, that makes you stronger, that makes you feel better about yourself, not worse. You know, we like to say that Cut the Fat Podcast is powered by science and psychology, not by guilt, because guilt is the go-to emotion that people use whenever they try to lose weight. And we're going to stop that today. We're going to stop by starting with a goal-setting process that actually serves us. And I think you're going to find some really interesting and new stuff today, stuff that you don't commonly hear weight loss gurus discuss. You know, what do they discuss? Well, they discuss what's called SMART goals. And we're going to talk about that in today's podcast because I'm not a fan of SMART goals when it comes to setting weight loss goals, and you'll find out why. All right, so let's get into it. So let me ask you, did you know that setting weight loss goals requires different strategies than setting career or financial goals, for example? In fact, if you set your fat loss goals the same way that you set career or financial goals, you could literally be setting yourself up for failure. And that's exactly what I find people do. So in today's podcast, I'm going to share with you the best approach for setting realistic weight loss goals and then how to immunize yourself against the frustration that usually occurs when people use the SMART goal formula for their body change goals. Now, I'm using the quotation marks in the air. You can't see it because this is an audio podcast, but you'll see why in a second. So let's talk about why SMART goals aren't so smart for fat loss. If you ever heard a weight loss expert discuss setting goals on television or on radio, they almost always suggest the following SMART formula, which stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time sensitive. So if you're like me, you look at this formula and you think, you know what, that makes sense. And that's how I thought the first time I heard it. It makes sense. In fact, it does make sense if you're setting all other goals but weight loss goals. Here's why. As I've said in the past, weight loss is an ugly science. The reality is you have no control over how much weight you lose. You only have control over what you do, and you can't do weight loss. When we say weight loss is an ugly science, we mean that we could take 100 people and put them on exactly the same diet and exercise program and see 100 different results. Some people would lose 10 pounds. The person standing right next to them would lose 2 pounds, and the person standing next to them would quit the program entirely because it was too restrictive for them. The bottom line is SMART goals would work if weight loss was a linear and predictable process, but it's not. In fact, it's totally unpredictable. This means that we can't dictate the time it will take to achieve a certain weight loss result for any given person. If we can't predict how much weight we lose in a set amount of time, that means we can't predict whether or not a goal is realistic or achievable. Two very important components of that SMART formula. So the best you can do when it comes to weight loss is set a SM goal, an SM goal. And that isn't quite as catchy as a SMART goal. So here's the reality. Human beings make terrible psychics. When it comes down to it, we're trying to predict the future by setting a goal. We're in essence estimating what we are capable of achieving. But we leave out one very important factor within that prediction. That is our promised effort. In other words, that result isn't going to come magically in the night, is it? You're going to have to do something to achieve that goal. And here's the fatal problem with this. Our default programming, as it pertains to estimating future weight loss, is not to do something, it's to do everything. Let me explain. So when we picture ourselves losing, let's say, 20 pounds by the end of next month, we hardly ever sit down and figure out what we're going to do to achieve that goal. We just imagine that we'll do everything, such as eat perfect food all the time, avoid all sugar, drink nothing but water, exercise every day, all day, park our car 12 blocks away from work so that we'll be forced to walk, etc. Obviously, you know, in this situation, I'm exaggerating my point, but it really isn't that much of an exaggeration, is it? Because the lifestyle that we assume we will follow is usually equally impossible given our busy schedule and the endless responsibilities that we all have in our lives. The reality is we assume that because we set a motivational goal, that the motivation will propel us through all of our roadblocks. And it does, for a few days that is. Then our motivation wanes and we give in to the temptations that stare us in the face every moment of every single day of our life. Okay, so let's review. Number one, we can't predict how much weight we can lose in a set amount of time. We can't even accurately estimate it. Because we can't predict weight lost in a set period of time, we have no idea what's actually achievable or realistic. And number three, we're terrible at predicting the future, and even worse, at estimating the amount of time we're willing to put into a particular goal. Needless to say, it's not looking good for setting realistic weight loss goals. So let me kind of tell you a story about when achieving your weight loss goals actually makes you sad. Now, I once had a client who came into my office in tears because she had finally achieved her weight loss goal, but when her trainer did her body fat measurements, she was actually fatter than when she started. She had gone from being fat to being skinny fat. We talk a lot about that on this show. And she was even more unhappy than before she had achieved her weight loss goal. This brings us to our next very important point, and that is weight loss is not fat loss. The weight loss mindset makes more fat people than any other thinking process in the world. Yo-yo dieters who obsess about weight loss get fatter and fatter by the year, even if they lose weight on the scale. They're less happy than before they started dieting because their body is in biochemical disarray, and they look worse than before they lost the weight. You know, looking good is the number one reason that many of us attempt to lose weight. That's not a judgment. That is just the reality. And I know that because I talk to literally hundreds and hundreds of people looking to lose weight every year. And the number one goal, when you get down to it, now some people will say, my goal is to get healthy. My goal is to improve my cholesterol. But when you really get down to it, their real goal, their real reason for wanting to lose weight is to look better and feel better in their body. So this brings us to what I call the goal ascension plan, GAP for short. When we're working with people, we need to help them elevate their thinking, especially around goals. Usually they come to us looking for help achieving their weight loss goals. So we work with them to elevate their thinking. We start by convincing them to abandon weight loss thinking and instead set fat loss goals. Then as we help them achieve their fat loss goals, we elevate their thinking once again to fitness goals because fat loss thinking won't serve you after you've burned the fat. Thinking about how to get more fit, active, and energetic will serve you much better in the long run. In fact, the only thing that seems to immunize people against regaining burned fat is a very active life. And so it's important to ascend above weight loss and even fat loss thinking into a mindset of activity and health. So as I mentioned, the conventional SMART goal recipe is not helpful for fat loss because we have no control over how much fat or weight we lose. Your chemistry, genetics, physiology, and psychology will dictate how quickly your body releases fat. We only have control over what we eat, how we manage stressful circumstances, how much we move, and how much we sleep. So what if you said to me, Ray, I hear what you're saying, but I need a realistic weight loss goal. Well, what I'd tell you, if you held a gun to my head and you demanded that I tell you what's a realistic weight loss goal, I'd say 1/2 to 1 pound a week, averaged over a minimum of 6 months, with some weeks showing more than 1 pound, some weeks showing less than 1/2 pound, some weeks going up, and some weeks staying stubbornly the same. There, I answered your question. Don't shoot me. What's clearly a fantasy here is 2 pounds a week, each and every week, as long as you cut 500 calories a day from your diet and exercise away 500 calories a day. It sounds logical. After all, a 1,000-calorie deficit would amount to about 7,000 calories in 7 days, which would lead to 2 pounds of fat loss. It's logical, but it's still total bull. 2 pounds a week is bull because the body adapts. When you're running a 1,000-calorie deficit every day, the body senses that you're starving and it adapts. Sure, you may lose 2 pounds for the first week, maybe even the second week, possibly even the third or fourth or sixth week. But eventually, the weight loss will slow. And then the only guarantee is that eventually the disappointment will arrive. Now, within our online programs, one of the first things that I have people do is figure out their initial weight loss goal and a quote-unquote best case scenario as to when they can expect to achieve their goal. Now, keep in mind, this is best case scenario. And let me tell you, they're almost always surprised to discover what they estimated would take them 4 months to achieve will actually take them 1 year to achieve. But you want to hear something very interesting and surprising? Oftentimes, most of the time, they're not heartbroken. They're actually a little bit relieved. Well, maybe not immediately, but after they think about it, they realize that they're here for a different path and a different solution. And it just so happens that one thing they haven't tried is setting a realistic goal of 1/2 to 1 pound a week, expecting that weight loss to happen in a sporadic fashion, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes sideways, and here's the kicker, enjoying the process rather than hating life as they try to bust through every obstacle that stands in their way, all in one final stand. You know, let me tell you, last stands are never fun. They're not. Realistic weight loss expectations are hard to call, and it depends on where you are in your fat loss journey. If you have 100 pounds to lose, you may actually drop 5 or 10 pounds a week. If you're 10 pounds from your ideal weight, you may count your losses in ounces rather than pounds. As a foundation, I think it's reasonable to expect 1/2 to 1 pound averaged out over a 6-month period, with some weeks going up, some going down, and some sideways for no apparent reason, just because weight loss is an ugly science. And you hear me keep repeating that with purpose. I'm not just forgetting that I'm telling you this. I'm repeating it with purpose because you need to hear that over and over again. If you're 50 to 100 pounds overweight, it is very reasonable to expect 60 to 80 pounds over a 1-year period. Just know that as you get closer to your goal weight, the weight loss science gets uglier and uglier, and the weight loss will slow dramatically and apparently for no reason. So let's go ahead and get into my novel goal setting strategies for successful fat loss, okay? So strategy number one is what I call Dr. Ray's simple 3-goal method. I hate the fact that I just referred to myself in third person there, but I'm going to do it anyway, okay? I'm a fan of simplicity. So as I mentioned earlier, when it comes down to it, the biggest motive for most people is changing their body, or more accurately, how they feel in their body. So I built the 3-goal template for setting weight loss goals. This approach gives you an achievable picture to work towards and simultaneously helps to prevent you from snapping back to your original starting weight. You see, if you're 100 pounds overweight and you decide to fit a bikini in a year, let's say, it's going to be hard to maintain your motivation because your goal is so far away and the journey will be filled with obstacles that may derail you along the way. If you try despite the warning and you successfully lose 70 out of the 100 pounds before getting derailed, then you will snap back to the only set point reality that you know, the 100-pound overweight version of yourself. If, however, we can separate your journey into 3 chunks and change your perception of yourself along the way, then we can increase your likelihood of success and simultaneously decrease the chances that you'll just give up and snap back to the 100-pound overweight version of yourself. In essence, there are basically 3 goals for women and 3 goals for men. These goals must be achieved sequentially. You can't skip any of them. You simply must dedicate your efforts to the next goal on the list. Once you achieve it, you can then work towards the next goal in line. So for women, the 3 goals are this. Number 1, to feel good in skinny jeans. Number 2, to feel good in a one-piece bathing suit. And number 3, to feel good in a bikini. For men, the goals are, number 1, to feel good in a business suit. Number 2, to feel good in a t-shirt. And number 3, to feel good in a bathing suit. So, you know, these are the 3 goals that I've set based on my conversations with men and women. But you might find that you have a different set of 3 goals. You know, goal number 1 may be to feel good in any jeans rather than skinny jeans. Goal number 2 may be to feel good in a pantsuit. And goal number 3 may be to feel good in a gown. You know, for men, it may be just to feel good in a business suit, feel good in a t-shirt, and feel good in shorts. You know, whatever it is, you set your own goals because it's your life. It's nobody else's life. And what I want you to realize is that, I mean, don't get caught up in, you know, bikinis or one-piece bathing suits or any of that. I just want you to get caught up in feeling good about yourself. And oftentimes, you know, I hate to say it, I don't want to sound like, you know, we're all about being vain or about, you know, just the exterior. But the reality is, just me being real with you guys, the reality is oftentimes, if we don't feel good on the inside, then we don't feel like we look good on the outside. And the opposite is true. As we feel better on the inside, oftentimes things begin to improve on the outside. And that's just what I've noticed. Okay, so, you know, don't drop me a ton of emails talking about how I'm talking about all the superficial stuff. This is just what I see out in practice. Okay, so hopefully you can forgive me if this is insulting to anybody. I've got to deliver to you guys the stuff that I feel is right for you. And I'm going to give you 2 other systems for goal setting if you don't like this one. But I think for most people, this one's going to work very well for them. Okay, so most women go from their current body type to basically aiming for the bikini body. And this is a big mistake, unless you're already feeling good in a one-piece bathing suit. You see, when you shoot for the bikini body, as soon as your mind doubts that you can achieve that imagined goal, then you will give up. And guess where you'll snap back to? If you guessed the starting body weight, you are correct. I've seen it happen 100 times. Now let's look at a scenario where you use the 3-goal method. Let's say that you're starting 30 pounds away from the weight when you fit those skinny jeans, okay? So you've got 30 pounds to lose before you know you'll fit those skinny jeans very easily that hang tauntingly in the closet. And after 6 months of hard work, you achieve your goal and go out for a night on the town with the girls wearing those defeated skinny jeans. Wonderful, awesome. The next morning you awaken and decide to begin your journey to the one-piece bathing suit. So after a month or two, you're closer to your one-piece goal when your mother falls ill and derails your weight loss efforts. So you snap back, but not to your starting weight. You snap back to your skinny jean weight because that's the new perception of your starting point. And let's not forget, you spent 6 months mastering the skinny jean lifestyle to get to that point. Now, when you're ready, you can restart your journey to the land of the One Piece bathing suit. The three-goal approach helps you to change your psychological set point as you achieve your goals. In addition, although it's hard to imagine what weight loss looks like, what losing 1 pound of fat looks like, for example, it's easy to imagine feeling good in skinny jeans or a one-piece bathing suit or a bikini. This goal approach has many advantages and few negative points. You can still combine this with weight loss goals like losing 1 pound a week for 90 days. You just use the numerical goals as shorter-term weight loss goals, not your core weight loss goal strategy. Okay? So I'm hoping that this is making sense to you. Basically, what we're trying to do through the three-step model is change your perception along the way so that if you do snap back, you snap back one tier below where you are, you don't snap back to the old, you know, 100-pound overweight you or 50-pound overweight you or whatever. Okay? All right, let's move on to strategy number two, the hardcore approach for highly motivated individuals. Now, at this time, I'm going to introduce you to the golden formula. Are you ready? Here it is. Determine what you want. Decide on the price that you will need to pay to achieve it. And then get to work paying the price in full in advance before you expect to achieve the payout. So here's the question for you. Who determines the price you'll need to pay to achieve your fat loss goals? Who is it? I'll give you a hint. It's not you. The answer is, it's nature. Your body, your genetics, your biochemistry all determine the price that you need to pay to achieve any specific fat loss goal. You have absolutely no say in the price tag. This is a big misconception for many people, and believing that you have a say in the price is the shortcut to weight loss failure. They say, here's what I'm going to pay, and here's what I'm going to get for that effort. Nature laughs diabolically at that statement, and it responds, good luck with that. So let me take a moment and instill some wisdom upon you. Would that be okay with you if I did that? I am about to instill some wisdom upon you. Here it is. Never buy a bottle of wine without a price tag on it. I learned this the hard way. Now, as I discovered, the liquor store owners intentionally leave the price tags off of the expensive bottles because they know that you'll see the bottle with $5.99 price tag and $7.99 price tag or $3.99 surrounding the bottle in question, the one without the price tag, and you'll assume that the one without the tag will be in the same price range. They also know that when the price comes up $19.99, that you're not going to embarrass yourself by saying that you can't afford that, right? Although I'm sure some of you are screaming at the MP3 player or the computer saying, oh, yes, I would. Well, you know, a lot of people don't question the price, and they just accept that they're paying $19.99 for this bottle of wine and they take it home with them. So just like the liquor store owner, nature dictates the price, not you. Unfortunately, nature also hides the price tag. So a lot of your job in weight loss is to discover the price that you'll need to pay. This is where the second guiding principle of cut the fat comes in. There's only one true fat loss formula, and it's different for everyone. The only way to discover your price is through trial and error. Sure, you want to start with what is most likely to work, but in the end, the Kata approach is the only way to discover your formula. Most of us have some idea how our body responds to specific changes to the diet and to the exercise routine. So the next step is to basically sit down with a pen and paper and answer the following question. What would I have to do to virtually guarantee that I'll achieve my fat loss goals in a set time if I had an endless supply of energy and willpower? Just list out everything that you'd need to do to guarantee the result in an ideal world where you have an endless supply of willpower and time. Then you can decide if you're willing to pay such a price. If you are, then stop listening and get to work. If you aren't willing to do everything on that list, then the next step is to start to haggle with nature. So here's the reality. Every weight loss program is about haggling with nature. Now that we know what we need to commit to in order to achieve the level of leanness that we want and imagine, and we've come to the conclusion that we're actually not willing to do all of those things, then we need to start making concessions. Let's say that you want to look like a cover model in a magazine, but after doing the exercise described previously, you've come to the conclusion that there's no way that you can do everything needed to achieve that goal. Well, then we might say, okay, instead of the cover model body, I'm willing to accept the body that I had back in my freshman year of college, if that means that I can have a cheat meal on Friday nights and some sweet potato fries with dinner. The point is, 99 out of 100 people aren't willing to do what they need to do to achieve the body of a fitness model. It's excruciatingly hard work. But that doesn't stop them from making that their goal, does it? So we have to then decide what body composition we'd be happy with that would still allow us to enjoy certain privileges in life. In essence, we must haggle with nature. Look, if you look at the requirements needed to achieve your goal, and you come to the honest realization that you're not willing to do it, you have one of two choices. Either your goal needs to change, or you have to commit to the price that nature demands. Most people, unfortunately, choose the unadvertised third option. They complain and jump from diet to diet plan with hopes that one of them will work. All right, so what's your choice? Accept or haggle? It's your choice. The only thing that you need to accept in its totality is the truth that you get no say in the price you need to pay to achieve a certain goal, only in whether or not you're willing to pay it. You got it? Good, let's move on. Strategy number three, what I call the collateral achievement method. I like this one. This is probably the funnest approach to setting and achieving your weight loss goals. In a nutshell, the collateral achievement goal method is to achieve your weight loss goals by not setting any, okay? Instead, you set health, fitness, and fun goals. So many, in fact, that there's no chance that you won't lose weight along the way. In other words, weight loss becomes a collateral effect of achieving a fit and fun life full of activity and healthy food. For example, you might set a series of fitness and fun challenges such as play a season of flag football, earn your black belt, go scuba diving, learn to dance salsa, become a certified Thai bow instructor, get my personal training certification, even if you don't plan on being a trainer, go 90 days without eating sugar, go 6 months without eating anything with white flour, run a 5K, run a half marathon, go 1 year without eating a donut, join a kickball league, join the office softball league. You know, the list goes on and on. You could just find 1,000 things that you could do to just be more active and to eat a little bit better. One blogger by the name of Mary, I think the website is amerylife.com, has followed this approach, and you can follow her journey at amerylife.com/goals-progress. I also noticed that she has a life list as well. In essence, she's connected her life success with her weight loss and health success. Here's a link to the life list. Go to http://amerylife.com/goals-progress/life-list/. And, you know, just check it out. You may also want to check out the blog post called The Fitness Bucket List. So basically, that's all there is to this third one. It's a very simple process. Really, it's just about using weight loss as a collateral goal, meaning that, you know, you're just going to do things in your life that promote activity, that promote fun, that promote just a little bit healthy eating here or there. You know, just have fun with the process. Test your heart, your strength. And as you do that, just expect the fat to come off the body. That's what typically happens. So it certainly is one goal approach that a lot of us may need. You know, beyond wanting, we may need it because we've been on this hardcore weight loss journey for so long that maybe we just need to take a break from all this goal setting process and just try maybe for the next 6 months just living a fun, active, healthy life with good, healthy food. And not really worry about the weight. Let's just see what happens there. So that's a third approach that I really like. And hopefully you'll give it a try or at least implement it in some form in your overall weight loss goal system. All right. So those are the three novel approaches to setting weight loss goals. In future episodes, you know, we'll talk more about this whole process, maybe get Blythe's ideas on setting goals and how to stick to those goals and so forth. And I want to invite you to sign up for our free online newsletter at cutthefatpodcast.com because we give a lot of psychology tips on there, a lot of fitness tips, a lot of some of the newer research that's being published. In addition, when you sign up for the free online newsletter, we'll send you a discount link, a link where you'll be able to pick up our Metabolic Ignition program. Now, I'm really excited about this program because it's kind of the Start Fresh program. It's a very concise, to-the-point program. It is the 6 steps that I'd recommend to anybody who is saying, how do I get started? How do I start fresh? And we'll send you a very special discounted link when you sign up for the newsletter as well. All right, so I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope it has really helped you to look at goal setting an entirely different way. If it has, I've achieved my goal. All right, Blythe and I will see you at the next podcast here at Cut the Fat Podcast. See ya!